A couple of days ago, something rather odd happened in our nation's capital. And while it didn't seem, at least it didn't seem to me, to make huge waves in the news world, I think it was pretty significant. You see, there was a hearing in the Senate about global threats and the United States of America's response to them. Many important individuals were there in attendance, including several former secretaries of state, like George Shultz, Madeleine Albright, and Henry Kissinger. That's not really that significant in itself. That's pretty much just business as usual on the Hill. Our politicians concern themselves with trying to figure out how to run the country better. As we often pray in our prayers of the people, they are, at least hopefully, trying to figure out how to guide our society to justice. And often that means interviewing people that helped to run the country in the past. What was significant was what happened next. While Dr. Kissinger was sitting up front, several protesters stormed the room and attempted to do a citizen's arrest on him, calling Kissinger a war criminal and the like, and holding up large signs and yelling. It actually got rough enough that some senators began to be concerned for the 91-year-old diplomat's safety and jumped up to assist. But the most significant action came from Senator John McCain, who was at the podium. Senator McCain said in no uncertain terms and very firmly exactly what he thought of the protest. He told them that he would have them arrested if they did not immediately cease their activity, and he firmly told them to leave, which they eventually did. McCain's exact words have become kind of famous on the internet, but I will leave them up to your imagination. Suffice it to say that he did not pull any punches in his defense of Kissinger. The scene ended with many in attendance standing and saluting Kissinger and more importantly, McCain apologizing to him profusely. I find this whole scene absolutely fascinating. For one thing, I am very interested in politics, which I'm not going to go into here, but I'm very interested in politics, and so I find it fascinating from that perspective. But even setting aside the politics of the question, even forgetting for a moment who all of these people were or why they were there were protests, this was an incredibly interesting example of human interaction. It started as a mundane day at the Capitol. Some diplomats were coming in for what would undoubtedly be a boring testimony. I mean, even I, who enjoys politics, wouldn't want to watch too much of this. This is the mundane of the mundane, the creme de la creme of boredom. Until out of the blue, there was a flurry of motion, a disturbance. Chaos breaks out, and it doesn't cease until a man with authority speaks up. Whether you like him or not, and I'm purposefully not making a claim there, but whether you like him or not, John McCain carries a lot of authority. I mean, this is a man who was basically a permanent fixture in Washington. He was almost the President of the United States. When he speaks, whether you agree with him or not, you listen. He is a man who speaks with authority. When John McCain says, "I'm going to have you arrested," that carries more clout than when most of us in this room say those words. At that point, it doesn't matter how much the protesters believe in their cause. It doesn't matter if they're right or wrong. It doesn't matter if their claims are valid anymore. Because John McCain had spoken. And when that happens, it means something. When that happens, it means that people pay attention. Because he is a man who speaks with authority. And that is what we expect from our leaders. And moreover, that's what the Bible tells us to expect from our prophets. They are folks that speak with the authority of God, and when that happens, when that really happens, when a prophet speaks the words of God, then people listen. Now, I'm not trying to say that John McCain is actually a prophet. I'm not trying to say that he was necessarily speaking the words of God in this encounter, but there is a comparison to be made here. You see, we usually think of prophets as being people that see into the future. They reveal God's truth to the people about what is going to happen to them down the line, and that's certainly part of it. But Moses, who the Bible declares as the greatest of all prophets, did very little prophesying about the future. Most of what Moses said had less to do with our futures or even the futures of the Israelites and much more to do with declaring eternal truths. Moses spent his prophecy time declaring to the people what was right and wrong, not telling them what would happen to them in the future. He was a prophet in part because he was a good leader. That's why he was effective, because when he spoke, people listened. But the problem was that after a while, the people became very dependent on Moses. You see, God's voice was so terrifying that the people could not bear to hear it. So God made them a deal. He wouldn't speak to them, but he would speak to Moses, who could then speak to them on his authority. But Moses, well, Moses wasn't getting any younger. And it wouldn't be too long before the Israelites had to survive without him. In many ways, the entire book of Deuteronomy is focused on that exact question. How will the people discern the will of God if Moses is gone? Deuteronomy is a bunch of speeches by Moses giving the people guidance for that very eventuality. And one way that he does that is by giving them a bunch of rules to live by. These are the rules that God gives you. That way, when I am gone, you will still know what to do. But ultimately, that's not enough. So he tells them that God will raise up a prophet for the people, someone to discern the will of God and explain it to them. And initially, this is Joshua, the leader that takes over after Moses dies. But throughout the history of the Israelites, prophets have arisen to teach the people, to instruct them in what God would have them to do. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Hosea, these are folks that hear the word of God and bring it to the people. But most importantly, in our tradition, is Jesus. Jesus is many things. He is our King and Lord, our Savior, the Son of God, our High Priest. But one thing that we don't usually talk about is that He is our Prophet. Jesus brings the Word of God to us. And that is what is going on in our Mark passage. Jesus went to go preach in the synagogue, and the people went to hear Him. And it promised to be a normal Sabbath worship. It was going to be mundane. Perhaps even boring. You know how preachers are, after all. But something different happened on that Saturday long ago. And I'm not talking about the fact that Jesus eventually casts out the demon. Something happens before that. The people hear him teaching, and they are astounded. Not because he casts out a demon, though they are astonished at that too, but they are astounded at his teaching. Why? Because he taught as one with authority. He taught not like those other guys that just rambled on all day, but he taught with authority. Something about what he said or how he said it was different than what they had heard before. Now, Mark doesn't tell us what Jesus said, but it almost doesn't matter. Because the message is clear. When Jesus spoke, the people listened. When he taught, they stopped what they were doing and paid attention. That was his authority. They listened because what he had to say was not only important, but vital to their lives. He was a prophet to those people, bringing them the word of God. But then, something else happened. A flurry of motion, a disturbance, a man shouting at the top of his lungs, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" This was not simply a protester against Jesus' cause. A demon had possessed this man. But Jesus, with one phrase, tells the demon to be quiet and come out of him. But I want to ask this question. Why did the demon listen to Jesus? On the one hand, Jesus is Jesus, right? I mean, he is God, and if he tells a demon to leave, the demon has to do it. But on the other hand, I think this is much simpler. The demon does what Jesus says because Jesus spoke with authority. Jesus, in his capacity as prophet, spoke the words with authority, and the demon fled. Jesus was able to do this mighty deed because he was one that spoke with authority. In that sense, Jesus was in line with Moses and Joshua and Isaiah, people who spoke and made things happen, people whose words could move mountains. There was a debate within modern Christianity that I mentioned in the children's service. The question is whether or not the age of prophecy is over. Are there still prophets today, they ask. And the people that ask that question mean, are there still prophets that can reveal the future today? Is God still granting dreams about what is going to happen? And while I think that that is an interesting question, I think that when we look at prophecy like we have today, the answer is much more simple. When we look at prophecy as being about speaking God's truth with authority, then our answer is clear. God promised to the people through Moses that he would raise up prophets for them, people to discern the will of God and teach the people with authority. And time and again throughout the Bible, we see that happening. And Jesus is the best example. But I, for one, don't think that he has finished doing that. I think that God still provides us prophets today, people that can speak that truth to a wayward humanity. And I think that they are here in this room. I think that that is what we are as a church. We are God's prophets. We can and we should speak with that authority and make things happen. And can you imagine what would happen if we did? The Israelites had one man, Moses, to speak the truth. Can you imagine what would happen if we all did that? Not just within these walls, but if we all spoke God's truth to the world. Can you imagine the demons that we could cast out? By this point, if you have been paying attention for the last couple of weeks, then you know where I am going with this. I've been preaching kind of a mini sermon series on where we as a church need to be headed. And I have encouraged us to remember that even though it would be easy for us to just coast along in our faith, that we wouldn't be doing God's will if we did that. The difficult things that God asks us to do are the ones that are most important. And this is the difficult task that is ahead of us. We need to be prophets in this world. We, Bethel Church, need to speak with authority to our community. We need to reach out to them. We are the ones chosen by God to bring His message of redemption to the world. And just because it's not easy doesn't mean that we should give up. Next week, I'm going to bring some proposals to session on how I believe that we can be prophets in this world. But I don't have this all figured out. I think I have some pretty good ideas, but I need help figuring it out. And I'm going to be asking you all to think and pray about how we can discern God's will. This isn't going to be easy. In fact, it's just plain going to be hard at some points. But that's all right. I'm sure it wasn't easy for Jesus to stand up against demons. I'm sure it wasn't easy for him to face death over the things that he had said. I'm sure it wasn't easy for Moses to be responsible for guiding the entire nation. But if it was easy, then they wouldn't have written books about them. It is time for us to move forward. It is time for us to reach out into this world and speak with authority. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.